You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 18th of March 2025. The Australian share market rose today, but only just, coming off their highs to be up 0.1% on the S&P ASX 200. We'll have the details with Mike Jenica from UBS in a few moments. But first to dividends, and sluggish demand from China will limit dividend payouts for Australian investors. Next week, more than $13.5 billion will be deposited into bank accounts, with more to come following that, although they're down on recent years. For more, I spoke with Ryan Felsman, the chief economist at CommSec.
Well, what we're going to see for investors is the lowest dividend payouts in about 4 years. So CommSec estimates about $32.1 billion worth of dividend payments will be made over the course of the next 5 weeks. So that is the lowest since 2021. And of course, that is due to the fact that we have seen lower commodity prices and some constraints around spending, particularly for the miners. So miners have been cutting dividends in particular, and that has weighed on those dividend payments, which are down about 5.6% from last year.
It really is a story between the miners down, but pretty much the rest of the market are seeing increases, right? Can you tell us why that difference and where we are seeing that difference?
Well, it all comes down to China, really. So we've got the economic slowdown that's happening in China at the moment, and demand for commodities has declined. We have seen commodity prices lower, and on the back of that, we have seen spending restraint from the miners. And with those spending restraints, we have seen miners cut their dividends quite significantly. But on the flip side, though, if you look at other parts of the economy and other sectors within the ASX 200, we have seen better outcomes in terms of sectoral payments. So dividend yields are quite attractive, in particular for energy. So New Hope Corporation, for example, today, they made a positive announcement around their earnings, and the dividend yield for New Hope Corporation is 10.5%. We've also got Inghams, a poultry producer. Its dividend yield's around 10.2%. And Fortescue, while we have seen the miners cut dividends, their actual dividend yield around 8.8% is still attractive for investors.
And finally, so for investors now looking and weighing up their opportunities, especially in this volatile time when we've seen the market come down a fair bit, right? And they're wondering whether or not they should invest in the share market or look at property and that sort of thing. When they're basing their decision on the outcome of dividends, what do you say to them?
Well, certainly dividend payouts still remain pretty positive. And of course, you get the franking credits as well at the same time. So you've got to remember all that. That income-paying companies are important to be part of your broader portfolio in a difficult environment. A lot of those are blue-chip type companies, the likes of Telstra and Wesfarmers. These types of companies are paying dividends. Qantas announced its first dividend in decades only a couple of weeks ago as well.
That is Ryan Felsman there from CommSec.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, which rose today 0.1%, 7,860 on the S&P ASX 200. It was higher at the start of the day, but there are some concerns about flaring tensions in the Middle East. For more on where the market is going, I spoke with Mike Jenica, the head of Australian equities at UBS Wealth Management. Mike, the ASX has broadly halted its sharp fall into correction territory, which we saw last week, but is it just a dead cat bounce?
We are constructive on the ASX and expect positive returns from current levels over 2025. The fundamentals are still pretty positive. Reporting season highlighted that economic activity is resilient and improving. Most sectors and companies are growing profits. Inflation is slowly trending down, and that provides scope for the Reserve Bank to reduce interest rates later in the year. And on global developments, which are buffeting markets at this point in time, the US tariff policy is not a directly significant impact for Australia, given most of our trade is with China. So although there may be a period of consolidation in the near term, we're not expecting large market declines going forward.
You mentioned those tariff impacts on Australia, but what about those tariff impacts on the US, right? We've seen a lot of talk about the implications for the US economy, the potential for a recession. How do you see the US economy looking right now?
Well, it's important to note that the US economy has gone into this period of greater policy uncertainty and disruption from a very strong position. So we've got healthy economic momentum with good growth in employment, good growth in corporate profits, and inflation is slowly trending down. So the impact, though, of the tariff disruption is that we are seeing some weakness in confidence in both households and the consumer sector. And that is potentially going to lead to a slowdown in US economic activity as the year progresses. But as far as a recession is concerned, we think that that is highly unlikely. The US trade sector is not a particularly large part of the economy, and it would take very large tariff disruption to send the US economy into recession. So we think that that is an unlikely scenario.
Okay, that's the US. What about China? Because the big driver of the markets at the moment has been China. Some further economic stimulus, especially for consumers there, and some generally better than expected economic data yesterday. Is all of that enough to rebuild its economy, or are investors still worried?
Well, we're expecting that the Chinese economy will be able to reach its 5% growth target for 2025. The economy is actually showing signs of improvement, as the data is showing after that step up in policy stimulus that occurred in the middle of last year. And the downturn in the property sector, which has been very significant, is starting to stabilize. So the impact of US trade policy is a negative for the Chinese economy. We are expecting to see some impact from that. But at the same time, given the government's commitment to its 5% growth target, we're expecting further policy stimulus to emerge, most likely to supporting consumer spending, and that should keep the growth trajectory overall intact. So as far as investors are concerned, there has been caution, but it is actually starting to lift. We've seen a pretty significant rally in Chinese equities this year.
And how much of that has got to do with the recovery in the Australian dollar today? We've seen it now at a three-month high against the US. So what's that about?
Well, the improvement in Chinese economic momentum is a contributor to that. It's also the weakening in the US dollar and improving domestic economic momentum. All of those factors have contributed to a bounce in the Australian dollar. The dollar was a bit oversold from our perspective. Our year-end target is for it to reach 67 cents. So we think it can continue to rally from here.
And just finally, given the correction essentially that we saw last week on the Australian share market, right, and the global market wobbles, have you had to change the way you've invested over the recent weeks, or are there still opportunities out there for investors?
Well, we think it's still a very good opportunity to be deploying capital. What recent weeks have highlighted is the importance of diversification and having some defensive buffers in your portfolio. And our portfolios at UBS, we've certainly benefited from that from the fixed income side and also having an exposure to gold. We expect returns from equities to be positive. We like the US market in particular, and the powerful AI-driven technology theme there that is very important in terms of earnings growth over a prolonged period of time. The Australian market, we like quality cyclicals. We think the mining sector and energy in particular are due for improvement. And as far as fixed income is concerned, from a defensive point of view, we would prefer to lock in yields in attractive yields in corporate debt rather than staying in cash where yields are falling given the reductions in interest rates.
That's Mike Jenica there from UBS. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.